All right, guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. Hot Rod!
What's happening, dude?
In the studio this week. I am so glad you made it back. We missed you last week.
I know.
We missed you.
All right, so check this out. All right.
Well, hang on. I'm not...
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Just because you're new in class, don't mean...
Do your thing. I forgot the rotation already.
All right. And then we got Richard Hoskins in the studio, Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial advisor slash numbers guru.
What's happening in Australia? So we had some friends posting on the page yesterday, so shout out to Australia.
And the kangaroos.
Yeah, the kangaroos.
Well, of course the kangaroos.
So now, Robert, now explain to us
all right, so here's
the reason for your attendance.
For my absence.
Or your lack of attendance.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I think everybody knows I live in Union, which don't hold that against me. Work down in Chapin, which is Columbia area, and also studios here in Greenville. And that's a big triangle to drive every Wednesday night, but I don't mind. And I need a break. I want to go home and go to sleep. And then my mom had an issue, and I still had to drive to Greenville.
Killing me.
So, yeah, I missed Radio Magic, and all our great viewers didn't get to hear.
No, but we don't have viewers.
Sexy
listeners.
Voice. Listeners, yeah, we don't have viewers.
Yeah, well, we have listeners.
I'm pretty sure they look at the radio while they're listening, so that
they let's hope not while they're driving.
They're kind of viewing.
Anyway, guys, I tell you what, we got a good Hot Rods and Happy Hour lined up today. I mean, it's going to be a good one. It's actually going to be a real good one. We're talking about orphan brands.
Orphan brands.
And, you know, orphan brands, to break it down for you so you don't have to Google it, is basically these car companies that went away. And, you know, we've got a lot in the recent times this went away. You know, of course, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, things of that nature, Saturn. But how about some of the more obscure ones, some of the older ones? And there's a lot of really cool cars actually came from these brands.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think that would be really cool. And actually, our buddies over at the Classic Automobile Club of America actually kind of put me onto this. And he said, how about that? I'm like, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
You know, so we're definitely going to be talking about that. Tell you what, though, we got some cool stuff coming up here in the near future, too, with Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Got a really cool invite. Season 3, the premiere of Caffeine and Octane Television. I'm going down to the premiere party in hot Atlanta. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, a trip to Atlanta is always good, especially for Caffeine and Octane.
Well, it's not just for Caffeine and Octane. We're going to the premiere party on Friday night and then switching gears. And we'll be in Concord, North Carolina for the Celine Club of America car meet, which is going to be a lot of fun with all the Celines and stuff.
That sounds like fun. Is that annual? Seems like that just happened.
Yes.
Yeah, it's annual.
Yeah. So
okay. Has it been a year?
I'm assuming so.
All right.
So we're going to do it again.
If we're doing it annually, I think that means...
That's almost a year.
Yeah. I think that definition-wise...
Almost, really, I think that's kind of what it means.
I think so. I'll have to Google that.
So we got that coming up. We got all kinds of cool things coming up. But like I said, I'm really shocked that I got an invite to the premiere party. Oh, Bruce. Like, you know, I had one of those moments for a second. It's like, Bruce thought about
me. Well, Bruce must have forgot my email. I'm a little miffed.
Well, I am in season 3.
Well... Oh yeah, you are.
Exactly. That might be why you got the invite.
You might be why.
And yeah, you know.
Well, I'm in the background of season 3. Does that count for anything?
You can
stand outside.
I'll be like that guy. You
gonna be my date?
Yeah, I'll be your date.
Yeah. Hey, it's 2018. It's cool.
Yeah. No one judges anymore.
That's right.
You can drive a Ford or date, Rob. Oof. No one cares.
I'd almost take the Ford on that one. I'm sure why. And that's saying a lot. But. You're still cute, but you know what I'm saying.
Thank you.
But definitely going to be a really fun time and something to keep in the back of your mind come about September or October, NBC Sports.
I think it's September, when it kicks off.
You're going to see in season 3 of Caffeine and Octane Television. We're actually doing an interview with my 1965 Malibu SS.
And
I think the Boo thing.
I think, if I remember talking to the guy right, I think you're in about episode 6.
That's right. So trying to count them out.
See, I looked out for you. I found that information. The first 5
Mark
episodes, you totally don't even have to watch those.
Yeah, the first 5, it's just, yeah.
I mean, you know, and plus, it's not like a continuational series, so it's not like you're missing out on anything.
I'll tell you what, the coolest part about filming that little bit with them, and I mean, this is probably going to end up being edited down to a 2-minute part, but, you know, we're talking about the Chevelles and stuff like that, but on one side of me was a GT40.
Yep.
And on the
other... nice car, too.
Yeah, a very nice GT40. And on the other side of me was a big block Camaro. And the Boo thing was in the middle of these.
And directly behind you, a Superbird.
Yeah, exactly. It was a Superbird. And they come to my Malibu. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, man, Malibu SS is a good car. I mean, a Super Sports Chevelle of any type is a great thing. But these are some pretty big-ticket cars
It was kind of funny. If you looked around the selection, I posted pictures, and I'll repost them again if I remember. But in that whole little gated-off group, you probably had the cheapest car there, and that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, it probably one of the cheaper ones. I said me and the big block Camaro are neck and neck.
Yeah, you and the Camaro would be neck and neck. But
I mean, that's some crazy stuff.
Company.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Old Booth ain't holds her own. Old
the
gal,
car's got
she shows well for old gal, you know, but, you know. Man, it was kind of cool.
She gets a little attention.
She does. She gets the eyeballs. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it's like I said, that's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely look forward to that. Definitely not looking forward to driving to Charlotte the next morning. But you know what? It's going to be a lot of fun when we get there, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a good evening in Atlanta, but I guess not.
Speaking of caffeine. We'll be partaking in a lot of that. But definitely going to be a lot of fun. And looking forward to that. And then next week, we'll be back in North Carolina, Lincoln, North Carolina, August 11th, for a show actually raising money for scholarships for kids to go to tech school.
That's good cause for me.
And then we'll be in Anderson, South Carolina, simultaneously, 5 hours later.
So,
hosting a
5 hours later?
Yeah, for the Anderson Classic Car Club.
See, this is fun. Okay, so people are going to listen to some behind the scenes, because me and you actually haven't had this discussion.
Yeah.
I thought we were splitting up, so we're actually going to get to be together the whole time.
Yeah, we're running around just back and forth. Yeah. And I still hadn't really figured out the logistics of this, but it's going to be a lot of fun no matter what.
Yes.
And in the words of a classic showman, the show will go on, I promise you.
We just somehow.
We'll just keep the chaos on this end of the table, okay? You know. We're trained professionals. Mm-hmm. We got
this. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
But that's what I've been doing in radio.
We're pretty dang good amateurs. I think that's what it is.
Exactly. But definitely going to be a lot of fun. And I love, this is getting in our silly season of car shows right now where everything's doubling up. We got car shows everywhere. And I love it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Now, granted, come SEMA time, come November, when everything starts rolling down, I'm like, I'm ready for a break. But it never fails.
Oh, about January?
January, everybody. Well,
tired of sitting in the house?
About ready for a car show. Boy, a car show would be good right about now. Ain't nothing like a bag chair in a 100-degree parking lot. It would be awesome right about now.
It's kind of like that time you tried to quit smoking, and about 10 minutes later you lit up and said, yeah, I was tired of that.
Yeah, that's the worst 10 minutes of my life. But that's the thing that's crazy. I mean, it's just it's funny the things you miss.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
I
just,
miss standing out in a parking lot in 110-degree heat.
I miss heat stroke. It's fun. You know?
Coming home sunburned, I have one arm because you drove your old car.
I love
it's
it,
awesome.
Man.
I mean, I miss those days.
That's experience.
That's right.
It builds character is what it does.
It does build character.
Maybe you could schedule a couple in, like, March there.
I was like, I'm leaning toward, I'm kind of like a March, October kind of guy. I think that's when the car show season should really be strong.
It's between March and October.
No. Just March and October. I think you should get a summer break from car showing and then
I'll
back
tell you
at
what,
it.
Speaking of October, how about October 6th, son? That's the one.
October 6th.
The red letter date. The red letter date in car show history.
Oh, I
the
know what it is.
The red letter date in car show history.
I know what's going on here.
That's Carolina Motor Fest, guys. I want to tell you something about Carolina Motor Fest. I was actually meeting with the studio heads today. I want to tell you. And I can't give you a whole lot of details because they're still a little up in the air. But we're going to be giving away something at Carolina Motor Fest that no car show, I'll step out on a limb and say, in the state of South Carolina has done. And maybe the Southeast.
Yeah.
And we're giving it away.
And unfortunately, you nor I can win it.
It's going to be huge. This is going to be epic, and I can't wait. Motorfest is definitely a show you don't want to miss. If you hear my voice, you need to make your way to that show for sure, October 6th. I tell you something else we're going to make our way to, and it seems like no matter what, it's these damn commercial breaks, man.
Yeah, I mean, they keep coming around and coming around.
I mean, which is a good thing. I mean, I guess they keep the lights on, but, you know. Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I tell you what, guys, we're talking orphan cars right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
106.3 WOR.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. I'm Rod.
What's happening, dude?
Richard Hoskins.
What's happening, Big Arm Montana?
Big Arm Montana. I love it. Guys, we're talking orphan cars today on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. You know, these brands that went away over the years. So I want to start in the basement a little bit. And I want to kick it off with a fun car.
All right,
a versatile car.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
That was very nice of you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, not only is it an automobile, but it's an aquatic automobile. How about the Amphicar 770?
one of my favorite cars in past times, actually.
The Alpha car is a very strange car. If you've never seen one before, it's definitely worth the Google and checking it out. They made these cars from 1961 to 1965, and only about 3,800 units were ever made of these cars. But they called it the 770 because it would run 7 knots on the water and 70 mile an hour-ish on the road.
70 miles an hour in an Amphi car is kind of like running 88 in a DeLorean. You don't know what the hell's about to happen.
It's that's, like doing 60 in a shopping cart.
I would probably feel better about the shopping cart.
At least it's got handles.
Yeah, I mean, you can hang on to something.
And I kind of heard the shopping cart might float better. I don't know.
It's got fewer holes in it.
But I'll tell you something crazy about the Amphi car now is the money they're bringing.
Well, they're very collectible. Well, keep in mind, they made 3,800 units. And this thing's a novelty. I mean, that you've got a car that you can drive down a boat ramp and people are going to be like picking up their phones on thinking they have YouTube gold, and then you're just going to float off. And you'll be like, really?
And then they're going to look up other Amphicar videos.
Yeah, then they're going to be like, dope.
But okay, so how many of them sank to the bottom of a lake? How many of them just rusted out? How many are left?
I don't know. There's no telling there. But I'll tell you what, something else, though. I would say not many. I'll step on them. But
I would almost dare to say that under 1,000 of them are left.
I'd say more than that. I tell you why, because it's a novelty. Yeah, I don't think they got used that much. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody had an Amphicar for their daily.
Nobody's put $250K on
one. I mean, how crazy do you have to be to buy something like that as a daily?
Well, I mean, it was just a frivolous thing. It was a car toy.
It was the 60s.
It was a toy.
It was the 60s.
It was the early 60s. But the thing that was cool about it was, I mean, and they successfully manufactured this, and it did work. Most of the time.
It represented a great engineering effort.
It was. I mean, you made a car that
the
you
Hoover Dam represented a great engineering.
All right. A little. The Amphicar this was just like the Hoover Dam.
The Amphicar falls a little short next 60, to the Hoover Dam.
The 60s brought in the Beatles and then the drugs, and I think the Amphicar is the result of that.
Well, the Amphicar came out in 61. That was way before the drugs, and it was actually coming before the Beatles hit, too. So
it was a precursor.
The Amphicar might have drugged them in.
It's probably the Amphicar's fault.
But the Amphicar was a really cool
car. I think it's awesome.
The Amphicar was a cool car. And, I mean, you got a lot of celebrity guys. Alan Jackson has an Amphicar, and he has a little private pond on his property. And that's what he does, is ride around in his Amphicar. And the next thing you know, he decides just to deep six it in the pond and go cruising.
That's dedication.
If I was a country music singer, I would do the same thing.
Could you imagine? All right, I want to paint a picture in your head right now. Because this would be Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson in a full Canadian tuxedo, for those who don't know, has a full denim getup, white cowboy hat, got the hair laying out back right, and I'm telling you, he's riding around in his Amphi car and singing along to Chattahoochee and just dives off in this pond in his backyard just rolling around.
I mean, that's
Alan Jackson's life.
You know
he's
what?
He's probably got a guitar in the back seat so he can sit out in the pond.
I hope he's got a paddle, too.
Feet on the dash and just play his guitar and come up with new music. I guarantee you that's Alan Jackson's life.
I hope the guitar doubles as a paddle. Second,
I hope he's got a flotation device.
I hope he's a good swimmer.
I hope the pond ain't
can
deep.
Can you swim with cowboy boots on?
I hope the pond ain't deep.
I guess if you have to.
He might have a cheater pond where the bottom of it, the wheels are actually really touching.
But I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, they, of course, a really cool car, and they bring a lot of money, though, because keep in mind, they made 3,800 of them. And, I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, you start looking on eBay right now, they're anywhere between 75 and over 100 grand for an Amphicar.
That's ridiculous.
Could you imagine insuring your Amphicar? Yeah, I got a car that I can drive into the water.
I just
your State Farm agent just starts rubbing his hands together.
Or hangs up.
Got to register it twice.
Yeah, really. I got a boat and a car.
But like, do you need flood insurance on that? I'm like, no, not really.
Maybe,
we're good.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. If it don't work, then yeah.
I wonder if you say your Amphicar is flooded, does that mean a whole other thing?
That's probably where most of them went.
Yeah, really.
Either way, it wouldn't start.
Or could you imagine financing one? What'd you do? Well, I decided to take it out in a lake, you know, and then it sank.
If you don't want
but
it
would
anymore.
You want, like, finance
or what would happen if somebody opened the door?
That's a good question, actually.
I mean, you know what I mean? There's so many bad things could go with this.
So how would you finance it? Would you finance it like 30 years like a boat, or would you just go for like the 5 years like a car?
I don't think anyone financed an Amphicar for 30 years.
Yeah, I don't know the prices.
It might be
there.
Now.
Although the
yeah.
prices they are now, it'd probably be affordable that way. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, that's a cool car, but that's another thing.
Yeah, like, take out a second car, mortgage on my Amphicar.
That's not a car you're going to take. You know, on a road rally, or you're going to take a trip in.
To hell you say. I'd LS swap one in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's
Then I'd have an amphi ski.
That's not going to work anymore.
Yeah, that's not. You're going to kill what makes it an amphi car. An amphi car.
We'd board it up. It'd be all right.
Your amphi car is going to be like. Your amphi car is going to be like heavy on one end. This is going to be sitting.
This is an amphi car 70. This is what this is. It only goes 70 on land. They don't do the water thing anymore.
You'll have a wheel standing amphi car.
It'd be kind of cool.
That actually would be kind of neat.
Yeah, someone needs to make that happen.
But there's some people that actually customize these things. We're looking online about them.
Yeah.
And I mean, because this is a rare car, and you got people that paint them up like battleships.
Yeah, I was about
to
say, you know, really, as far as they carry that as paint-wise, and I probably assume that's a wrap on there, just guessing. Or they got a rough amphi car and did their own thing, but that's not
a car. Could you imagine rust?
Are they fiberglass or
what? No, they're metal.
Oh, man.
I don't think we knew what fiberglass was in 61.
I don't think
actually,
I want to get in
Corvettes were made out of fiberglass.
I know. I know. Don't ruin a good thing. You just ruin.
Well, actually, anybody with sense would have already ruined that for you, but...
I mean, you act like car people listen to this show.
That's crazy. But I mean, yeah, so you had a car made of metal. You just think about it. I mean, you're just asking for rust. I mean, these things naturally would have rust problems anyway due to time. Hey, let's stick it in water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, you know, if it's clean,
maybe
water.
A saltwater lake.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to make it to the other end of the lake.
I mean, there's a lot of things in there. I mean, I wonder if the seats doubled as flotation devices.
So do you put
sure they did actually.
So do you put like Stabil engine treatment in it over the winter?
I don't know.
I mean,
is it like the pull handles on your doors doubles like paddles?
Do you have to like scrape the crustaceans off the bottom every once in a while?
I wonder if the steering wheel looks like the wheel in a ship.
Arr!
I mean, like, do you get, like, algae in your carburetor? Is that a thing?
So they got, like, the driver's hats. I wonder if yours is, like, a captain's hat, you know?
I mean, could you...
Or, like, does the captain's hat snap down in the front, and then you unsnap it, and it's like a captain's hat?
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
That's a
right genius,
there.
Actually.
Like, it goes from looking like one of the old taxi cab driver's hat, yeah, undo the snap, and now you got a captain's hat.
You're like the skipper.
Yeah. It's just at a moment's notice.
I'm telling you. Just think of Gilligan's Island. Maybe they were in an amphi car.
I would like to see how thick the owner's manual on this thing is.
Oh, I wonder if it's like one of those waterproof books.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Do you get the little waterproof
It's laminated
floaty?
Pages.
Do you get the little floaty keychain like you do with a boat, too?
I don't think they
case?
Had things like that back then.
Well, they should have.
I tell you what they had back then, and we still have that same problem now, is these commercial breaks, man.
And we got to keep taking them.
All right, guys, stay tuned. We're talking about the orphan cars right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 WOR.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Hot Rod!
What's happening, dude?
Richard!
What's happening, Dogtown, Alabama?
You've been there?
Sounds
like a fun place.
I've never been to Dogtown.
Dogs everywhere.
I would say. Awesome. I wonder if you could get a cat in Dogtown.
Probably not.
I wonder
condition.
When the dog days are over in Dogtown.
Apparently, they never
ever?
Got the memo.
Interesting.
I wonder if you can get a cat at the animal shelter in Dogtown.
I think they call that food.
I wonder, if there's like a lot of hot dog places in Dogtown.
I don't know.
Dogtown Dogs? I mean, come on back.
Come on. I wonder what the name of their baseball team is. The St. Bernards?
That's a good one.
You like that, didn't you?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. I thought it was a good one.
I would love to drive a Range Rover. through Dogtown, and preferably a red one.
Red Rover. So we're talking about abandoned car brands, orphan cars. The brands that went away, you know, and we're talking about the amphi car in the last segment. I got one for you, and they've gotten really popular here lately because of shops like Gas Monkey, and several of your guys are bringing these cars back, and they're, you know, really hyping them up with all these late model add-ons and things like Gas Monkey. You can put
like
an EcoBoost in theirs.
Oh.
No, not LS Motors. Oh. Actually, probably one of the coolest Ford-ish products I think ever made, in my opinion. I'm going to mess this up. The De Tomaso Pantera.
Your guess is as good
I think
as mine,
it is De Tomaso. De Tomaso.
I love.
We'll be corrected on it. Don't worry.
I love the Panteras. I've got a little tie to a Pantera. My dentist, Dr. Robert Jarvis, who is the track champion at Greenville Pickens Speedway, home of Carolina Motor Fest.
Also the name of a former pastor of mine.
But I bet you my dentist is way cooler than your pastor because he drove a Pantera, a flared out.
My pastor had a direct connect with the good Lord above.
You know what? I'd put the Pantera neck and neck with that one because this is pretty cool. I mean, ain't gonna lie. I mean, the big man's good.
Pantera.
He's probably Pantera. Got a Pantera in a stable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got to, right?
I mean, you know what I mean. But my dentist, not on top of keeping me a Crest Kid and my pearly whites cavity free, rocked a Pantera. So I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about a stock Pantera. I'm talking about a candy apple red flared out Pantera with inky wheels on it.
It's a pretty cool dentist.
With a hot 351 Cleveland. And you crank this thing up and it literally rattled the ground. He actually, I came in for a checkup. I was probably 17. I showed him my 5-liter Mustang because I thought it was cool. He showed me his Pantera.
Trump card.
That got shot down quick.
Went back and kicked your Mustang.
And then we smoked a cigarette together and went for a ride in his Pantera. That's bonding right there.
You know what?
Which is funny because my doctor, my dentist, and my orthodontist all smoked, which is really crazy.
You know what, though? If you're going to smoke with someone...
And I've bummed a cigarette off each one of them.
If you're going to smoke with someone, why not smoke with someone and clean your teeth right after?
The funniest thing ever is Dr. Hunt, who was my orthodontist, had braces for 3 years. Yes, Mother, I remember, and thank you. But this is the thing that's funny.
Moms, I'm going to need to get them pictures for blackmailing later.
I'm going to tell you something, dude. It looked like I had a chain link fence across my mouth. But it was so funny because my orthodontist's office used to be an old house. So the whole back of it was open. Dr. Hunt's office was right there on Waydenton Boulevard and Taylor's. And the whole back of it was glass. The house was. And that's where all the chairs were. And there were probably, 10 dentist chairs back there. He would be on the back porch, so you could see right out the windows and see him, and you would see a Salem go flying across the yard, and then he'd come walking in. Man, Rob, you've been wearing your retainer. Good job. He would lean over, and a big lighter would fall out of his front pocket on your chest.
Oh, that's what the pocket's for.
And I mean, but it tickles me. I mean, it was totally okay. Like, I didn't think anything was wrong there,
Well, everybody used to smoke back then.
That's true.
I mean, gas wasn't even flammable. You smoke while getting gas.
It was 1997, Robert. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
Gas wasn't flammable.
It was in the 50s.
I mean, you act like I was born before dinosaurs back in the day. It was 97. Back
after the war. Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you, by the way.
After the big war.
I've been meaning to ask you who invented dirt, anyhow.
All right. That's
Listen, child. We already had to send Will Hall. Don't make us send you mine. I'm okay. It's almost your bedtime. Listen. But this is the thing, though. But that was totally acceptable. Back to Dr. Jarvis. Dr. Jarvis had a kick-ass Pantera. I mean, this is the coolest thing ever. My dentist scored so... And then I found out he was the track champion at Greenville Pickens Speedway. So not only can this man fix a cavity...
Isn't his name on the wall out there, actually?
Exactly, because he's the track champion.
Yeah, I thought so. His name is on the wall.
That's right. Your name's on the bathroom wall. His name's on the wall at the track. What's
up
with that?
By the way, I bet my phone's been blowing up lately.
He's popular. It's race season.
It's race season.
But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's so cool, though. But these Panteras are really, really coarse. So, basically, they had the European styling and the performance and, the handling. But it had that Ford drivetrain, that Ford.
Yeah, that was the one problem with them right there.
You know what, though? 351 Cleveland wasn't nothing to sneeze at.
No, 351 Cleveland is actually a great motor.
Well, and they run the 351 Cleveland all the way to 1988, which is insane. And they were actually getting the motors from Australia at that point.
The very end, they started putting 5 liters, hot 5 liters in them.
Well, they went to 351 Windsors in 88. And then back to 302s. But, but keep in mind now, a little 302 fuel-injected kind of hopped up. It's still probably pretty meaty in a Pantera.
Yeah.
They weren't like Fords. I mean, they were Ford-powered. They sold them at Lincoln Mercury dealerships, but they made other cars, too. Like, the Mangusta did
exactly.
Have a 302 in it.
Well, they shared the same transaxle as the Pantera.
Yeah,
the
ZF.
Exactly.
ZF 5-speed.
But, and I mean, and that's the thing about the Panteras. I mean, and I really think the Pantera... kind of got lost. Everybody now is supercar. That's a supercar. The Viper is a supercar. In the 70s, I'm going to tell you something. The Pantera was a supercar. It checked every box.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word. I mean, when the Corvette wasn't performing, a Pantera was. Now, keep in mind, a Pantera was a lot more than a Corvette, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But, and now the values are really creeping up. I remember the Panteras got down there for a little bit, and now they're starting to get extremely popular, but now everybody wants those original ones that aren't flared out and cut up.
It's like an affordable Countach that's reliable.
I wouldn't say affordable. I mean, they're six-figure cars now, which is nuts.
See what Countaches are going for.
Well, I'm with you there, too, but you know what I'm saying. And yeah. I'll be honest with you, it's a better car than a Countach.
It really
never
is.
Thought about
Countaches are actually garbage.
Better.
Man, I love them. I love a Countach.
What kid didn't have a poster of a Countach in his bedroom?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we all had the same poster.
Exactly. We probably all got it from the book fair.
Pretty much.
I did, too.
I've always wanted a black Countach with gold wheels. Or a red one with gold wheels, and I don't like red.
I like the red one, silver wheels, or the all. What was the anniversary one they made? It was all white.
It was an 89 25th anniversary. They made them in red and white.
Yeah, I love the all white, white with white wheels. I'm sorry, I love anything tricolor.
These things are
white, pulling
like $1 million now.
That's insane.
Yeah, they've gotten crazy.
And they had like 10 of them in Cannonball Run.
And they're terrible to drive.
Yeah, like they're good for about 200 miles at a time.
Yeah,
maybe
if.
If you baby it.
Yeah. If you rest up and maybe stretch. And
yeah, but the Panteras really are a car. And, I mean, when's the last time you... I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a Pantera locally. I mean, these are getting to be some pretty exotic cars. I mean, they only made 7,200 of them anyway, just a shade over 7,200, from 1971 to 1992. Which is insane. Actually, the last Pantera was hand-delivered.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. Like, you bought the last one.
Yeah.
Don't bring it back.
You know, it's kind of odd that happens, because a lot of time manufacturers keep the last car.
They didn't want, yeah, they didn't want no part of that. Yeah. We don't want this evil. Just send it on. But, I mean, not on top of it, I mean, 92 was kind of a downhill slump for horsepower and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's just like, you know. This is a sad day.
It was probably one of the fastest things going back then.
Well, in 92. Well, the ZR1. Testarossas.
Yeah, true.
When did the F40 come out?
F40 came out in 87. I think they started selling it in the States in 89.
Yeah, so we had the F40 floating around. So, yeah, there was a lot faster things then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, think about it. 1971, that's pretty supercars it gets.
Well,
I mean
and the cars had great styling to them. And
now, see, that one's been modded.
Yeah,
they didn't come looking like that.
Some of them did. That could be a GTS.
Yeah.
Around 74, 75, they got the GTS.
See, that's more like what you see at the Lincoln Mercury dealership right there.
Yeah, you know, everyone listening cannot.
Well, I mean,
see.
It's just in stock form. But when they're all flared out, they look totally different. The car's totally changes the look.
No, if you want to see,
that's the one the Ring Brothers
built. Yeah.
Now that's a very cool one. Actually, Richard Rollins, which tickles me because they built the EcoBoost Pantera, and then they built the Pantera for what was the race car driver they built one for? NASCAR guy.
I can't remember.
Nobody cares. It's NASCAR. But you know what I'm saying. But they built the car for him. But what tickles me, he went to Bear Jackson and bought the Ring Brothers Pantera.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you?
It's twice the car he ever built. But you know, I mean,
well, I mean, and they don't build the same caliber of cars. That's just it.
That's for sure. I tell you what else is for sure is these commercial breaks. Man, they're running up on us like crazy.
Absolutely,
guys, stay tuned. We're talking orphan brands right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour
on 106.3.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Hot Rod,
what's happening, dude?
Richard Hoskins.
What is happening, Fertile, Iowa?
Don't want to go there.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Seems like if you stay the hell out of there, you're dodging a bullet.
If I knew the word.
So, all right, we're talking about orphan car companies. And this one right here.
Speaking of orphans.
Like it went away, but nobody really ever noticed it. It's kind of like the Shell game.
If it went away and no one really noticed it, then did we really need it?
No, actually, it's a very important car company. It's actually a very, very, very large car company that produced some monumental cars.
I'm gaining interest.
The Plymouth Company.
Oh, yeah, they did kind of bleep
off
the map.
Exactly. It started July 7th, 1928.
That's a good point.
It went belly up June 29th, 2001 is when they turned the lights off.
Yeah, they were number three forever. Like in the 50s and 60s, they were a number three car manufacturer.
Well, you know, the thing
really
you got to think about is,
you
know, the Plymouth Car Company, you know, of course, all the 30s, 40s, 50s. But, I mean, you got to think about the 60s, the muscle car
satellite.
Days. The satellite wasn't exactly.
It was a bigger body car, too.
But you had the GTX. Yeah. Or you had, you know, all these just monumental cars. Hell, the Roadrunner.
Little pony car by the name of Cuda.
Exactly. And then that's the thing. I mean, these were the Plymouth cars. Now, of course, they had Dodge equivalents of them. But these were the Plymouths. I mean, this was the Pontiac of Mopar.
Right.
And
best way to put it.
I mean, more or less.
Well said.
But so, and when you got to think all these cars, and then like they even came out of left field, even in the latter days of it. How about the Prowler?
Yeah, the Prowler was definitely unusual.
Matter of fact, the last couple of years, the Prowler wasn't even a Plymouth anymore. It was a Dodge Prowler,
Chrysler.
A Chrysler Prowler. But I mean, it was the Plymouth Prowler, and I mean, they made Plymouth minivans. They made Plymouth everything.
Plymouth, I think in 2001, I think all that's left was the Plymouth Neon, which was literally
the Espresso, by the way,
Dodge Neon.
The Espresso.
That was the Plymouth Espresso.
Yeah,
and it had the cool Voyager sailboat.
I miss the Neon a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, the Neons were
no one ever.
The Neons were cool cars when they came out.
Remember, the SRT4s were pretty cool.
Remember
past that?
But
no.
Remember the when they first came out, the campaign slogan, "Hi."
Yeah, that was cool.
I mean, it was just a neat little car. I mean, it was cool. Yeah. It was kind of buggish a little bit.
They were great race cars. I mean,
and they even had a racing series for these things.
Yeah.
Anyone that talks road about racing, how horrible they are hasn't spent any time around one.
They're, they're not
a horrible car. They're just a horrible car.
They had some horrible head gasket problems. That was their biggest problem. I got a feeling Mitsubishi laid at the bottom of that somewhere.
When they jumped to the second gen of the Neon,
somewhere.
When they jumped to the second generation of the Neon, when the SRT4 came out, they started the bigger wing on the back and all that. I think that's when they got a little cooler.
Yeah, but actually, those cars weren't nearly as good a driver's car as well. Aside from the SRT4s, I mean, they made an RT, but the first gen RT Neon, the ACRs, they were raw.
And that's the thing. They were actually factory race cars they made that you could buy through Plymouth to race. They had a racing series for those cars, like Road Atlanta, things like that. Yeah, I mean, this was a big deal.
American Club Racer.
I've had a lot of opportunities in my life. I'm kind of glad I missed out on that one.
Yeah, I see you're talking out your butt there because this is actually kind of cool. I mean, like, you got guys that are racing. I mean, this was like factory race car stuff. I mean, so it was really neat to have this class for this car because it was just a whole new class, a new entry level to get into racing. You could buy a factory race car at a reasonable price.
I mean, especially for those that race like in the NASA and the NIMSA series and all that. I think it's great, but just personally owning one,
No, I mean, I ain't sound one to be my daily.
I'm not going to get another.
I mean,
I could be convinced
into an SRT4, but that's about.
I think I would pass on it
me and my Neon relationship extent.
But they were very popular cars. Like I remember when they first came out, there was a lot of buzz
about commuter
cars.
It was a great marketing campaign for it.
Well, that's classic Mopar in general. You know, their marketing is off the chain.
But the cool
even
thing
then.
Is, really, you can still own one. You just call it a Dart nowadays.
Yeah, it's not the same. Neon, to be a Neon, it's got to have round headlights. That's just to me.
Well, and it's also got to be a Neon.
Yeah, it's got to be a Neon.
And a
Dart's kind of neonish.
It's not even the same.
Yeah, it's like a Klingon Neon, you know? It's kind of got the.
I mean, that's not really fair to say because the Camaro took a, 7-year hiatus and it came back a totally different platformed car, if you will. Still a Camaro, but totally different. So this is kind of neat.
Darts weigh like 3,500 pounds, though. Like they're not little economy cars.
Yeah. And another thing, too.
Well, the new Dodge. Not a fair statement to make,
Another thing.
Dodges have packed on weight since then.
Everything
has.
So that's not even really fair to say there.
I'll tell you what's not fair is you compared a Camaro to a Neon. That's what's not fair, sir. You need to speak easy on that.
Technically, I didn't compare.
Did you say Camaro and Neon?
Not together. Not in a comparison.
Did you just compare? Did Richard? Did I hear Camaro and Neon?
I mean,
they both have round headlights.
Now we got to do a segment about Camaros just because.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So you were just talking about comparing Camaros.
But no,
and
I'm
just throwing that out
I
there.
Really think, I mean, in all honesty. And
it's
I,
like Patrick, rollback tape.
I guarantee if you find someone in Chrysler's lineup that would be willing to be honest with you, there's a new Neon with a more marketable name.
I don't know. It didn't really work out that well for them.
Yeah, really. The Dart really wasn't that big of a hot seller either.
Well, when you make it look more like the Charger and just try to pass off a Neon-based Charger, yeah, it's not going to work.
I just like the old Neon.
Yeah,
I like the green ones. Yeah. Like, I like those.
Well, you know they have green darts, too.
Highlighter green ones.
Yeah, I like high.
Yeah, that was
it's
awesome.
A Neon.
They have green darts, too. I'm telling you.
Not that color.
No, it's just different.
That's because it was neon green.
Well, you got to think about it. When those came out, Robert, you were still sucking your thumb. So
it's true. That's like a classic to you.
Well, actually, you were doing that last week. So.
Yeah, I was doing that the other night, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But the Plymouth Car Company actually has some cool things. And the Prowler, I've got mixed emotions about. The Prowler was a very cool car. When it came out, I got excited about it. I mean, I was that kid that built the model car of the Prowler. But
snap tight.
That 3.5 V6.
But you know what?
I mean, it made good power.
It made good power. Really the car was absolutely fun. Anyone that's ever owned one, driven one, rode in one has had a blast. But, and it's not enough power to get you, you know, killed pretty quick.
Well,
in
I mean,
it.
Pretty quick. It's a slow, painful death.
Yeah, this is more of a slower, painful death.
But the thing that was cool, though, is, and I didn't learn this till later on, is how many parts got reused in the Prowler from other Mopar models. Like, all the dash stuff, all your bezels, AC controls, radio, was all Caravan.
Yeah. And Intrepid and whatnot.
Yeah, and like the power window switches, Dodge truck. Like, it was so crazy.
All they did is made a cool shell to put excess parts in.
It was a design exercise.
Yeah, to see how cool they can make this pile of parts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, we got all these parts laying in the corner. Let's do something with them.
It's kind of like, what's that cooking show where you can do that? You know, like here's some anchovies.
That's kind of like dinner every night. In my really.
It's like, here's some anchovies. And some shredded cheese and chocolate syrup. Make me something. And they made a Prowler. I mean, but they're really cool other than big dorky gray bumpers on the front.
Yeah, they had to have those. But what's the first thing that every Prowler owner does?
They take them off.
But, you know, they did really good as far as, like, yeah, they had to have said safety equipment. They made it work.
Yeah, no trunk, though, at all.
No.
Because they had to have room for the top. Of course, you had your little trailer you could get with
it. That's true. That's why.
Yeah. To go to the grocery store, you needed a trailer.
It's probably the easiest solution to we need more storage space ever.
I like the steering column mounted tack, though. That was actually a neat touch on it.
That was an auto meter, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that was a Caravan part.
No.
Yeah, but
that came in the Intrepid.
but they were very stylish. I even like the factory wheels they put on those cars.
Yeah, they're cool. I wouldn't change them.
I like the chrome plated versions of them too. And then in the later years when they started coming out with the colors, the black and the yellows and the reds. Now those were pretty cool. The
blue
purple
and silver
ones,
two tone.
Yeah, well, that was some kind of limited edition.
Yeah, that was
something.
The Mulholland edition. If I'm
you know,
not mistaken,
you always see a purple Prowler too.
Well, I mean, they made those the first couple years that were all purple, weren't they?
I think first year, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the weird thing about a Prowler. Can you imagine we're going to make a car, and we're only going to make it one color? What are you thinking, red, black, or white, or silver? No, purple. That's what color we're going
to
make it.
Henry Ford lived off that model. He said, you can get their cars.
Yeah, but he made black cars. It's real easy to do when you did that.
He said, you can get any color you want as long as it's black.
That's right, guys. I tell you what, though, but I mean, the Prowler did good. It was a good seller, and I want to tell you something. They're actually holding up good in their value. I tell you what else don't hold up is these commercial breaks, man. They keep coming right at us.
Absolutely.
Guys, stay tuned. We're talking Orphan Brands right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 WORD.